me? Doesn't it sound better to have announcements read with an accent? Who said yes? I usually do that. I think we should get our whole host of Brits and Europeans to sign up to do weekly announcements. But can we just thank Amy? She's doing so much work to really impact the culture of our church and the way we do hospitality, and is being incredibly intentional. And as you can see from the prayer guide and all the stuff she's giving us ideas for in Advent, it's really, really good stuff. So thanks a lot for that, Amy. We're going to depart this week from our 1 Corinthians series to do just 1 week on Advent, kind of set a tone for the whole season, then we'll go back into 1 Corinthians next week. But as Amy said, Advent is meant to be a season of rest. It's meant to be a season of preparation. We're looking back and remembering the incarnation, but we also are called and urged to look forward, just full of hope to his second coming, that there will be another Advent, that Christ will come victoriously, and he's going to fulfill all and every promise of the gospel, that he will eradicate once and for all sinfulness and evil, and we get to see his kingdom, and we get to see his glory fully. And so these two Advents, in some ways, give us perspective for the purpose in between them. So we can look back on the Christmas story and on his first incarnation, and it provides for us a hope, and it provides for us a purpose as we await him fully coming and his kingdom fully advancing. And as I've been just preparing for this message this week, I just feel that this is an incredibly crucial time for our congregation, that I feel like he's inviting us into a bit of a reset and a refocus, as Amy said, on what's most important in life, that we can get captivated by everything that's in our culture and everything that society is telling us this season is meant to look like. But I think he's calling us to allow him to reshape our hearts and to reshape our hope based on the truth of his gospel, and that we would go forward fully in the hope of his gospel, that as we pursue him and as we allow him to reset our hearts and reshape our hearts and minds, that we would be just overflowing with a hopefulness, because that's the Christmas story. And yet at this time, we can seem everything but hopeful. So I really encourage you to take the prayer guide. Like, it'll walk us through day by day the reality and the beauty of the gospel, and allow Jesus to just instill in us a new hope, and allow him to prepare our hearts that he has something for us, and that he has a new, fresh season coming. And in that season, that we would just be so lit up with the beauty of Jesus. If you want to turn with me today, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1. This is Matthew's account of the Christmas story. Is it up there? It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." And as I was preparing this week to preach, I was captivated by a lot of parts of this text, and there's some really kind of cool and nerdy aspects to this, and I really wanted to teach on the Spirit hovering over the womb of Mary, and in some ways there's like some creation parallels, and just really fun stuff. And the Lord just kept bringing me back to verse 23. And I feel like it's just super essential for our church to revisit and to continuously desire to understand and to know and to believe this verse in a more profound way. And the reality is it's a really simple verse. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And we know this verse. It's an obvious verse. Everyone knows God's with us. I mean, we're Christians. We go to church. God is with us. It's plain and it's simple. And yet, the mystery, God with us. God is actually with us. And this reality is what this whole Advent and the entirety of the Christmas story and season is about, that God is actually with us. God himself is with me. God himself is with you. And it in some ways becomes so commonplace for us. But the gospel, I think, and the story of God and the redemptive nature of God is actually, I think, hard to believe in some ways. And hard to believe in a way that I mean truly believe, in a life-altering belief, in a way that changes everything about you and everything about your day. It's hard to believe because it contains these realities of a magnitude that's unfathomable. We can't actually grasp the gospel. It's not something that I would have ever designed or I would have ever created or come up on my own, because it's something supernatural and it's something divine and it's something of God. It's unbelievable in the absolute best ways. And this reality is one of those absolute best ways. That it is unbelievable and unfathomable for us to grasp that God is with us. And this is like the crux of this season, God with us. And if we aren't careful, and it can become normal to us. It can become commonplace. We've been in the church for years, maybe. We've been Christians our whole lives. We grew up with the understanding that, of course, God is with us. And yet, I find myself living with this functional unbelief. Because if I truly thought God was with me, and I truly knew what God is and who he is, then it has to actually change the way I live. And so I can look at the reality of God is with me, and yet I feel like I live like this, and go, oh, I actually don't believe that. I don't believe it enough. And I keep feeling as I come into this Advent season, the Lord calling me to the text, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, going, oh, I need to know you more. I need to believe this more. This needs to radically change every aspect of who I am. God with us is just the most mind-blowing and beautiful idea that we could ever hear. And I feel like as a church, we need to regain this true and unwavering belief that God is with us. That there has been waves that have crashed so hard against us. And there is a stability that is only found in God, and that we would go, oh, you are actually with me. No matter what comes up against me, you're here and you're with me and I know it. And we'd be unwavering and we'd be unmovable. And we need to regain some hope in God. We need to regain the hope that God is actually here. That he is with me day by day, wherever I go, however I feel, whatever I come up against, God is with me. We need to regain some peace. And I think we need to regain some awe about who he is. Like just day by day going, oh wow, you are so much better than I thought you were. That we don't have this figured out yet. And I look at myself and go, I don't even understand that he's with me. I feel alone. I feel isolated. And there are just things that God can only do, that only he can do. And at times, I find myself frustrated with that he keeps bringing me back to the place where he's showing me over and over and over again, I'm the only one that can do this. Stop trying. I'm the only one. So if we look back at our Psalm 46 sermon from a couple weeks ago, he brings us to the point where it's just him, that every other stability that I would lean on, that I would put my hope in, can come crashing down, and he invites me in. Stephen, I want you to know that I'm here, and I'm with you, and you can count on me. And so I need this like continual day-by-day assurance that he's God. And that everything is going to be okay and better than okay. That everything in all of life works together for my good. to actually believe that, that he's with me and he's working everything around me, that it would actually just be better than okay, but it would be for my benefit. Every circumstance, every situation, he is going, I'm with you and I'm in this and I'm for you, and believe it or not, it's actually better than you think it is. And so the Christmas story, this truth of God with us, it's something that can reset us. It's something that can bring us back to a place of balance and ease. That Jesus, and the crux of this story is in the incarnation, Jesus is God's assurance eternally that God is with us. And that God is with us in a greater way than we could have ever imagined or dreamed of. In fact, I love the text because it's his name. It's the core of his identity. It's who he is by definition. It's God with us. What's his name? Emmanuel. I'm with you. I'm here and I'm with you. Matthew is quoting, he's quoting Isaiah 7 in this passage, and it's written 700 years earlier, and it's a prophetic message that Isaiah is bringing to the king of Judah, Ahaz, and Judah is being threatened by the king of Israel. As you know, the kingdom's divided, so there's the king of Israel and the king of Syria, and they're wanting to destroy King Ahaz, and they're wanting to destroy the Davidic monarchy and establish their own king. And Ahaz, we find him at the time Isaiah brings this message, he's put entirely all of his hope into the Assyrians to protect him. So he's going, okay, these two countries are against me, but there's this really powerful country, and hopefully they'll save my butt. And Isaiah is calling him to go, no, you're actually meant to trust in God alone. That God alone is for you because he's with you, and he's going to be with you even in a greater way in the future. That your family line, your kingship is actually safe because God is with you. It seems like a bit of a theme for us in the last 2 months. That every text we've hit seems to be about this. That constant reminder of God, no, put your trust in me. I'm with you. I am here. I'm for you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Don't look to anyone else, just me. And the promise is that God, through a baby, which is hard to believe, would prove to the whole nation that he hadn't forsaken them, that he hadn't forgotten them, that he hadn't abandoned them, that he wouldn't leave them alone, he wouldn't leave them unprotected, but that he'd be with them through this baby that would one day be born and save them. And so Matthew, obviously, we know the story, is declaring that this baby boy, the promise and fulfillment of that prophetic word is in Jesus. That in Jesus, God himself is with us, and it's the assurance that forever God will be with us. That God himself was coming to prove that we are not alone, that we are not forsaken, we are not forgotten. That he was coming himself to prove that I remember you. That I care about you, I will protect you. And so Israel is only recognizing this in like a military sense. They're going, oh, one day there's gonna be a king who's gonna lay the smack down on everyone who's against us. But Matthew takes it even further. The Gospels take this further than just some military kind of battle figure. But it's not just defending us from war and defending us from other nations, but it's bringing about complete and utter and total salvation. Verse 21, it says, she shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. There's a totality to this. That the promise is God is with us, and he'll one day obliterate all evil and all that stands against his people. That he will bring about complete and total salvation in every aspect of life. Why? Because he's God. Because that's actually who he is. And guess what? God is with us. And that actually makes a difference. God being with me makes a difference. It should give me hope. It should give me peace. It should give me joy because he's God. And he's bigger than me. And so Jesus comes down to be with us, and he comes down to be with us when everything else can feel against us, especially our sins, especially our circumstances. God with us, and we live as though he isn't, church. Like I wake up and I can feel like every bit of anxiety, every stress, every heartache, every situation is bigger than God. I wake up and feel, oh no, what's this day going to be like? Because functionally, within me, I don't think he's as big as he is. And I don't think he's with me. But what would it actually look like for us to believe in the Christmas story? To spend the season of Advent going, this is actually real, this actually matters, and God, Emmanuel, is with me. What would it look like for people, individuals, every one of us, for our families, for our whole church to believe that and to reimagine what life can look like getting that, to reimagine the reality that entirely true, God is with us. What would it look like for all of us to just think every morning when we get up, God is with me today and I believe it? How would I go differently into my work? How would I go differently into dealing with my wife and my kids? How would I do mission differently if it was real? God, it's a big word. God with us. And we seem to think it's pretty self-explanatory, but it's a meaningful word. I looked into a few different catechisms, which in the historic churches are kind of set up as question and answer. And my favorite one was the Westminster Shorter Catechism from 1648. It says to the question, what is God? And this is the answer. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness and truth. This is the one who's with us. No one less than God, and for all that he is and for all that he's worth, is with us. That he is infinite and incomprehensible. That he is eternal because he was before everything and he's never going to go away. That he is unchangeable. He is by definition everything he is, stability. The entirety of his being is stable for us. That he is wise. He's smarter than all of us put together, obviously. But he's powerful. He's unable to be fatigued or defeated. He's almighty. He's a warrior. He's a defender. And he's an eradicator of all evil. And he fights for me, not against me. That he is holy and he's pure. He is good and he's just. That there are no dark sides to God that we have to be embarrassed about. There's nothing that we have to hide from people because we're not sure if it's good enough. We don't have to be fearful or avoid what he's like. He is entirely beautiful and entirely amazing in everything he does. He is full of goodness and he's full of truth. That's who's with us. God, a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. That God is with us. This week I read a story of Martin Luther, and apparently he was going through a bit of a psychological man cold, and he was going on and on about how terrible his life was, just like completely despondent about what life is like for him. And apparently during his constant griping, his wife goes and, as wives do, puts on a black dress as if she were mourning. And he looks at her and goes, "Who died?" And she responded with, "God, apparently. I'm joining you in mourning his death." Right? The coming of Jesus in the incarnation has one clear and one permanent message for us. That there is no one less than God with us. And we live like he's dead. We don't even get the most fundamental beginning of the gospel, that he's here. He comes down in the flesh to unite himself to us eternally. That God is with us and he's never going to be removed from us, and we're never going to be removed from him. the most formidable and powerful being who is terrifying unto any adversary that comes against him, comes into the universe as a baby, vulnerable to the point of death in the least threatening way possible, and reaches out to us day by day, moment by moment, so we would know and live in confidence that he's with us. It has to shape and reframe everything I think about life. Everything I think about circumstances, how I hope, how I grieve, how I suffer, how we view coming together as a church each week. God with us changes everything. I was reflecting on the names and attributes of God throughout Scripture, because I just go, I actually need to get who God is to actually believe what him being with me does. So he is Yahweh, the one who is near to us. He is the Almighty, the Most High, the everlasting God, the Provider, the Lord who heals. He's our Shepherd, a Warrior, our Rock, our Refuge, the Creator. He's merciful. He's our Comforter. That God himself has drawn near, and God himself has made himself knowable to each and every one of us. And it matters that we know him, and it matters that we understand him, and it matters that we love him. And not just in theory or in a methodology or in applying the gospel of Jesus to us, but it's him. Do we know him? Do we believe that he's with us? And if he's with us, that makes a difference. And the way I can live life on the worst days makes me go, I don't even know if he's real when I look at it. Do I actually believe that? Because my actions are so contradictory to that. But if I know God for who he is and what he's like, it changes everything about me. That God is with me. It changes the way I get up in the morning. How could I fear? How could I doubt? How could I be hopeless when God is with me? Unchanging, eternal, infinite, all-powerful, all-wise, merciful, gracious, loving, with me, despite my sinfulness. And I love verse 21. He's not saving his people so they do not sin. He's saving his people from their sins. There's nothing I need to do to make him want to be with me anymore. He's just with me because it's who he is. So this Advent season, I just keep feeling the Lord call me to dig in with all I have because he's preparing us. That we both look back to his coming and we look forward to his coming again. But he's going, Stephen, no, I'm preparing you for something. And I don't necessarily know what. But I go, okay, if you're preparing us, if you're doing something, it's going to be good. And it's going to be hopeful. But what if this understanding is the way we actually shape our Advent? To go, okay, I actually just need to know you. I just need to know that you're with me. I don't need to go, here's all the things I want you to fix. Here's all the current circumstances that I'm struggling with. Would you fix those so I know you're here? But what if I just went, every day I'm going to get up and I'm going to go, Jesus, would you show me that you're with me today? Would you show me who you are, and would you show me you're for me, and would you show me that everything I do today is with you because that's who you are and that's your identity? What if that was the whole purpose of Advent? Just, we're going to come together as a family every day and pray, God, show us that you're here. How would that change a church if all of us devoted our lives to that? And obviously not just through Advent, but if we actually got it, that when we come together, it's a couple hundred people who believe God is with us and he's going to meet with us and he wants to meet with us. That we would just look to him and go, I actually want you and all you have for me. Not I want you to fix my problems, but I actually just want you. Because it's him that matters most. And his promises that he's with us. And I just feel him going, Stephen, you need to reset all of your ideals. You need to reimagine the entirety of your life based on this being true. Could you actually take the step of going, I do believe this is true. and reimagine what my life looks like as a Christian, what my life looks like as someone who believes that God is with me, and then take the steps to actually live like that, to actually just imagine, to dream. You go, okay, what would my work look like if I actually thought God is with me? And allow him to show you and to just dream and then go, okay, the reality is it's true. So how do I step into that? It's the purpose of this. It's why we do what we do. It's the only thing that can actually give us hope. It's the only thing that can actually change our day-to-day life. It's this understanding that God is for us and he's with us and he loves us. And though every wave can be thrown against us, that he's unwavering, that he's unshakable. And in this season especially, we look to him and go, hey, God in Jesus came in the form of a baby to give us the assurance that he's with us, that he's for us, that he is protecting us in everything, that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us. And one day, we will see him in all of his glory. We will see him in all of his goodness when he comes again. Amen. Father Robin.